This is Keith Haugen, one of his original songs called I Kala Apopo. And he's going to be calling in just a minute. He and his wife were the first recipients of the Legacy Award for Lifetime Achievement as a musical group from the Music Foundation of Hawaii. They're going to be our guests tonight at E Kane Kapila Kako. Aloha kakahiaka, Keith.
Aloha kakahiaka, pehe oi ki ala.
Oh, mai kai'i. Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Well, thank you.
I want to let our listeners know that I have on the line Keith Haugen, who will be performing tonight at E Kane Kapila Kako at the Kauai Beach Resort as part of our stories about the songs. That's our theme this year for E Kane Kapila Kako. And Keith, I'd like to start off with a little bit about your background. How old were you when you started playing music?
Six.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Actually, you know, I started off when I was 6 years old playing cornet. And I played brass valve instruments all the way through high school and didn't start playing string instruments until I was in the Army. And I played ukulele, and then I switched to guitar, and I still play both.
Wow. That was a wonderful event last
week. So that's quite a few years ago. By the way, I want to thank you for opening this with Ikala Apopo, because that's a very special song, you know. That Ikala Apopo means tomorrow, and that song, I wrote that for the 100th anniversary of the overthrow of the monarchy. And it started off there with Danny Kalaikini playing the nose flute.
Mm-hmm.
And the chanting was Aise Ki'ilehua. Hawaiian language teacher on Oahu. And the song says, you know, the people cry for their queen. They cry because of the overthrow. And it says, the only thing that's left for the people is the land. And it calls on the Hawaiians to rise up and to claim their rightful things, and says sovereignty will return tomorrow.
Hmm.
And that tied for first place with a Kauai composer, you know, Cindy Combs.
Yes, yes.
Cindy and I tied for first place in a song competition hosted by the Friends of the Royal Hawaiian Band in 1993 for the 100th anniversary of the overthrow.
Oh, excellent.
And so I'm really glad you opened it with that. Thank you very much.
Oh, wonderful. I know you've written over 200 songs.
Yes, I have. I've written songs in a variety of genre. Of the 200, probably about 70 or 75 are in the Hawaiian language. The others in English, and dabbled a little bit by including phrases and words in other languages as well. But I've written Hawaiian, I've written country, I've written folk, I've written hymns, I've written children's songs, Christmas songs, patriotic songs, a whole variety of different genres.
Well, your heart just loves to sing. That's really evident, really evident.
Well, listen, I'm glad you came by to hear us last night, too. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I know you did a lot of driving to get here, and appreciate that.
I wanted to meet you and your wife. You're a husband and wife team. And tell us a little bit about your wife, Carmen.
Well, Carmen was born and raised on Maui. She's from the Ohana Kauawa, which is probably the largest family in the islands. Identified family members number about 5,000, including a lot of very well-known names like Kaholokula and Kuhaulua and Ue Ko'olani and Poi Punis and others. They're all part of the Kauawa Ohana. And she was a graduate of Baldwin High School, where she was a song leader. And also, while she was still in high school, she was a student teacher, taught her own classmates and stuff. When they needed substitute teachers, they didn't have to go beyond their class. And she's a member of the Kapa Hula Hawaii Halau. It's a hula halau headed by Kaha'i Tapolinski. And she's an Alaka'i hula. And she had studied earlier under Hui Park in Genoa Keawe's Kula Hawaii years ago, and then performed with me in Waikiki for 35 years. And she taught hula for about 25 years. And then went back and joined Tapolinski's halau to learn kahiko, because she had concentrated all of her life on awana. And so now she's learning kahiko as well. And she, I was singing solo in Waikiki, and she said she found out I was having such a good time that she decided to join the show. And so she came down, I'd call her up, and she'd sing a couple songs with me, and she'd dance a couple, and then when we had a chance, I had an offer of a move to another location, and I called him up and said, I'm still coming, but I'm coming as a duo instead of a trio. I mean, instead of a solo. And so Carmen and I started performing together. And then over the years, we worked as a duo, sometimes as a trio, sometimes as a quartet. And till about 4 or 5 years ago, we met Frank Uehara and asked Frank if he would continue to play with us. And He's been playing the Pakini bass, you know, for about 30 years, and I think he's the best Pakini bass player I've ever heard anywhere.
Tell us what about Pakini bass.
Well, the Pakini is a pan or a dish or any object, flat object that can contain something. And kini just means tin, so it was a name that they gave to the old washtub bass. And, you know, anybody who comes down to see our performance tonight in the Jasmine Ballroom, we're going to have a time set aside so that Frank can explain and demonstrate the Pakini to anybody who's interested, because he's really the Pakini master. And he graduated from one type, from a washtub to a plastic bucket, and he experimented with all different types of chords and things until he got it down pat. And so anybody who's interested in the Pakini, he can give them a nice little demonstration tonight.
It sounds wonderful.
It is. It's a great instrument. You know, and Frank has such a good ear. He's a guitarist also. He plays guitar, including slack key guitar, and has a good ear, and that's what you need, because not only are there no frets, but the neck is not stationary. You know, mm-hmm. You get the different notes by putting tension on that rope and releasing tension. You know, so if you're going higher notes, you pull it a little bit tighter, and if you're going lower notes, you loosen it a little bit. And he can explain it a lot better than me. So invite all your listeners to come on down tonight and get a little quick lesson on the Paquini bass at the same time as we share a bunch of our songs and some old Hawaiian songs.
Yeah. So, Keith, I want to back up a little bit.
Sure.
Are you from a musical family?
Well, my dad played violin, my mother played piano, and all of my siblings except one played musical instruments, and he was the jock in the family. I mean, all-state football player and captain of the basketball team and all that. So he didn't get involved in music, but the rest of us did. We were kids. I grew up in Minnesota, and in the wintertime in Minnesota, you don't have much to do at night. You don't go out. And so we'd be at home, and my mother would play piano, and my dad would bring out the violin and accompany her. And the only problem was he played classical music, and she played hymns. So she'd do something, and he'd follow along with her, and then he'd play a couple of classical numbers for us, you know. But music's been a part of my life, like I say, all of my life, but playing since I was 6 years old.
Who are your mentors and teachers that influenced you as you in your journey?
Well, when I was starting out, you know, school teachers, in particular bandmasters and others, were really influential because they not only encouraged me to play, but when I earned it, they gave me promotions in that. When I was in sixth grade, I was asked to join the high school band, and because I played well enough, and I was just honored to do it, of course. And with a bandmaster who was a genius as a musician, but also had a dance band, and on occasion I got to go out and play with his dance band, even though I was only in high school, and all of his other band members were adults, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of fun. I'd played in some dusk to dawn dances where they played all night long, and I couldn't leave the stage even because I wasn't old enough to be on the floor where they were serving alcohol. So I took my break. I had to step out and take the break outside the building because they could go down and mingle with the crowd, and I wasn't allowed to. But then when I got to Japan in the Army, I fell in with a bunch of musicians from Hawaii, and one of them in particular, a Maui girl named Lucille Kikipi, was a wonderful singer. She had sung with Ray Kinney's band at the Hotel Lexington in New York, and her husband was in the Army, and we worked together, and she formed a group, and she invited me to join them and sing with them, and I said, I don't know any Hawaiian songs, and she said, well, we'll teach you. And so I picked the songs I wanted to learn, and she helped me learn my first half dozen or so songs, and then we started performing. Then I set a goal to learn one new song a week for a year.
Wow.
And I did. By the time that year ended, I had 52 songs under my belt, and I knew all the verses to all the songs. And most of the guys in the group could only sing the first verse in the hyena, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so by then I became the lead singer of the group, a group called the Islanders. And the group makeup changed over the years because some of them were military who came and went, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And some were civilians. And I stayed in Japan for 8 years. And for about 7.5 of those years, I played with a group called the Islanders. And then, of course, I went back to the mainland to school in Idaho, and then I came back to Hawaii, and I moved to Maui in 1968. And then in 1970, moved from Maui to Honolulu and started playing in a lounge, downtown lounge called the Red Fox Lounge, in the mezzanine of the MFAC building downtown, doing happy hours.
Uh-huh.
And then in 1972, auditioned and won a spot in Waikiki and then stayed there forever.
You played at some wonderful rooms in Waikiki.
Matter of fact, we did. We were very fortunate. We had all good rooms, including 17 years at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel, which was quite an honor to perform there.
Yes.
And for that, we thank Jack DeMello, the great maestro.
Mm-hmm.
Jack DeMello asked us if we wanted that gig, and we went down and took a look at the room and said, yes, we'll take it. Actually, I would have taken it without even looking. But Jack insisted I go and take a look because it had just been renovated. And we got in there, and we stayed there 17 years, which is the longest-running act in the history of the Royal Hawaiian Hotel.
It's such a beautiful hotel.
It is, yeah, it still is.
Really, just an elegant lady. And you're performing now at the Pacific Beach Hotel.
No, we left that, and we kind of semi-retired from Waikiki and decided we didn't want a regular gig anymore.
Okay.
And so we're just doing casual jobs.
Uh-huh.
We sing for special events, award ceremonies, luau's, parties, things like that. We're just saying for the grand opening of a new restaurant in Waikiki. The next ones we've got coming up include award ceremony, the annual award ceremony for the Book Publishers Association of Hawaii. And then we've got a summer concert. They do the Twilight concerts at the Foster Gardens. We'll do that. We do that every year also. And so we have some regular things like that that we do every year. And we do two or three a month, and that's about all we'd like to do. Keeps us busy.
What songs are you bringing to a kind of Kapila Kako this evening?
Well, tonight we're going to share with everyone a real variety of songs. I'm going to sing some of my Christmas songs, some of my patriotic songs, a country song, a children's song, a lullaby, and, of course, a whole bunch of our Hawaiian songs, because we know the audience will enjoy Hawaiian music. And we put together song sheets for half a dozen of the songs with chord symbols and that, so that those who bring along their guitars and ukuleles will have a chance to learn a half dozen of our songs, our own compositions. And, of course, we do quite a few of the old songs that most of the younger groups don't perform anymore. It's a dead giveaway that we're older than they are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
but it's kind of fun. They look at my white hair and they know I'm older anyway, but it's kind of fun to be the one who gets called on to do the old songs. You know, people say, well, you know, we want you guys because you sing the old traditional songs that we want to hear. That's kind of fun.
Mm.
So we'll do some of those tonight, and quite a few will be original compositions.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite song?
Well, I actually, of the songs that I've written, my favorite is a little short lullaby called Close Your Eyes, and we'll sing it tonight. But I think that's probably my favorite because of its simplicity. I tend to write long. I have some songs where, like somebody said, you'd have done well in old Hawaii when they used to write 20 or 30 verses to a song, because I tend to write long. But when I wrote the little lullaby called Close Your Eyes, I wrote really short song because the song and a simple melody because it was intended to lull a baby to sleep. And I wrote that one because I was bothered by the fact that there was a song that was called a lullaby which says put the baby in a cradle and hang him in a tree branch, and when the tree branch falls the baby falls to the ground or something like
right.
That didn't seem like much of a decent lullaby to me. And so I wrote this one, and I wrote it at a time when Carmen was recording an LP of all lullabies from all over the world. She recorded when it was called Lullaby. And so I think of my own compositions, that's probably one of my favorites, although my most popular is probably Mokupuni Nui, Big Island, because that one's been recorded by quite a few other artists, including Led Ka'apana, who did it three times on three different CDs and three different labels. I always tell everybody I'm beginning to think he likes the song. But Mokupuni Nui is probably best known locally. One of my Christmas songs, it's Christmas All Over the World, in which I use the popular Christmas greeting in about a dozen different languages in the lyrics of the song, has been recorded many times, and it's used often in Christmas programs and pageants and churches and schools here and on the mainland and in several other countries. It was popularized down under by John Rowles, who used to be here, but who's Maori from New Zealand and now performs in Australia. And he's recorded it twice. And every year at Christmas time, it's in the top 10 of the playlist on radio stations in Australia. And so I really thank John for popularizing that song. That's also one of my favorites. And we'll do that tonight. We'll have a few minutes of Christmas in March.
Great. I love Christmas any time of the year.
Me too.
You also wrote, narrated, and produced the award-winning Christmas Time with Eddie Kamai.
Yes, I did. Yeah. That was a fun project. We came up with the idea of doing a television special. Eddie had never done anything in television, and I wrote the script for it. Eddie and I were executive co-producers. Dennis Mahaffey gets all the credit for producing it, but I wrote the script, and I narrated both on and off camera, and that was a fun thing because we used all the songs were from the album called Eddie Kamai, Christmas Time with Eddie Kamai and the Sons of Oi, and it included Diana Aki, and included the Honolulu Boy Choir, and Jeff Rasmussen was in the Boy Choir, and he does a solo on that. And that was Eddie's entry into video production. And, of course, since then, he's produced about 8 or 10 award-winning videos. And that was the first one. He now owns the rights to that, by the way. And I think he's going to add a couple more songs to lengthen the show a little bit and then release it on a DVD.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And he was there when you got married.
Matter of fact, he was my best man.
He was your best man. Wow.
Yeah,
and who married you?
Dennis Kamakahi. Wow. We were the first marriage that Dennis performed. This was in October of 1978. And we flew to Maui and were married in an outdoor ceremony up in Iao Valley at Kepaniwai at the Heritage Park.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the first wedding that Dennis Kamakahi performed. And we didn't tell anybody we were doing it except our immediate family on Maui. And sometime later, Dave Donnelly, the three-dot columnist for the Star Bulletin, called me up one day because we used to work together at the paper. And he said, Keith, I understand you and Carmen got married. And I said, yeah. He said, why didn't you tell me? And I said, we didn't tell anybody. He said, you don't mind if I use it as a column item? I said, no. So he put it in his column and mentioned that it was Dennis's first wedding ceremony and that. And we had people all over town stopping us saying, wow, we thought you were already married. We'd been together for so long, they thought Carmen was using a stage name when she used her name instead of Haugen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she was a school teacher for 50 years?
Well, no, she taught hula for about 25 years. She was never a school teacher. Her only school teaching experience was when she was still in high school, and she was a substitute teacher at Baldwin High School. She worked in the garment industry for 27 years, with Malia International, which was a top manufacturer of women's attire mostly, but they were famous. They created the Mu'u craze, and the Aloha sports jacket craze, and a whole bunch of other things like that.
Oh, what fun.
She worked in that industry for 27 years.
You're also involved with radio.
Yeah, we did a show on public radio for about 12 years called The Music of Hawaii. I started also on public radio the Keolama program, which is the first ever Hawaiian language newscast, and it's still heard daily on public radio. And I also started the Hawaiian Word of the Day program for English-speaking listeners who wanted to add to their vocabulary Hawaiian words that they could use in English conversation. And that's still being aired daily also on Hawaii Public Radio.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
What a good body of work you have. And
we're still having fun.
Yes.
This is a good example, you know. We're thrilled when Carol Yotsuda called and asked if we would come over and do this because the theme was stories behind the songs. And I've written so many songs, and everyone does have a story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of fun. We've been over and performed for Carol a couple times in the past, but it's been quite a few years since we've been here to do that. And, you know, we have some family on the island, too. Robbie Kahulokula is Carmen's cousin. And I produced a couple of the family albums for Na Kahulokula when Robbie's dad, Uncle Jimmy, was living. And they're very special people because he was one of my mentors in both Hawaiian language and music.
Mm-hmm.
And in part because of Uncle Jimmy, Auntie Alice Namakilua, and a handful of others like that who were very helpful, I went back to school, pursued my degree, got my degree in Hawaiian language, and that's what I do during the day. I teach. Matter of fact, if I wasn't talking to you right now on the phone, if I was back home in Honolulu, I'd be at the Star of the Sea School in Wailea teaching Hawaiian language to a sixth grade class right now.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Oh, I'm so glad to have someone like you.
Oh, listen, it's our pleasure, and I'm so glad that you, number one, came down to see us last night, and taking the time to have me on your show today is very neat, Mahalo.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to come in. Tell people your website so they can go and find out more information about you, and you have a number of recordings also.
Oh, we do. Our website is pretty much out of date because we've been so busy we haven't updated it. I think if you go to the home page, you'll see it says that we've been performing at the Pink Palace, the Royal Hawaiian, for 13 years, so you know how out of date it was. We sang there for 17 years and left there several years back. But there is some material on there that is valid, and on that home page, there's free downloads of some things that I'd really like to tell your listeners about. One is a recording I did of Senator Daniel Inouye narrating a piece I wrote called Whisper Semper Fi, The Ballad of the Leatherneck.
Mm-hmm.
And more than 250,000 people have already downloaded it free.
Wow.
And we also have on that homepage a link to a song I wrote, the first melee ever written for the Emperor of Japan. It's called Heipunehelinu Tenuheka. And that, over 165,000 people have downloaded that one free. We're just giving it away. And Ikala'apopo, which you used just before I came on the air with you, is also available on there for free download. And the website is www.hawaiiansong.com. And anyone who wants to go to it can download those free. Also, a song that I wrote called Ceasefire, a Christmas song. It's kind of an unusual title and an unusual Christmas song. We put that on there also as a free download. And we did because we're promoting peace. And we think peace in our lifetime is possible, but we all have to make it work by starting right now, right here with us.
That's right.
And that one, a couple of years ago, the state legislature and the Matsunaga Institute for Peace awarded us the literary award for song lyrics for that song. It's called Ceasefire. So there are four different downloads on there, there on that homepage that are completely free. And we'd just be thrilled if everybody in the world would download those, because that we want to spread those songs around as much as we can.
Yes, yes. Good for you. Well, we look forward to seeing you tonight, Keith, at the Kauai Beach Resort from 6 to 9. Bring your ukuleles and guitars. Got a wonderful evening coming up. And again,
we'll teach everybody a couple of Hawaiian songs and a couple of English songs, and then we'll share with them a whole bunch of our songs.
Wonderful. I look forward to it. And thank you, Keith, for taking the time to call in and speak to our listeners. We really appreciate it.
On behalf of Carmen and Frank Uehara and myself, thank you very much. Mahalo,
y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Aloha.
Aloha.